hear that line in that song. It's a walk in the park. I always love to introduce really active environmentalists who do anything but just kick back and let life be a walk in the park. They're out there every day making a difference, and I am truly excited about our next interview. She is a walking example of just what I'm talking about. Marianne Hitt is the executive director of Appalachian Voices. It's a nonprofit organization that brings people together to solve the environmental problems that have the greatest impact on the central and southern Appalachian Mountains. The organization works with communities across Appalachia to tackle two major causes of climate change, mountaintop removal, coal mining, and the construction of new coal-fired power plants, both very timely issues. Their online campaign is ilovemountains.org. It uses Google Earth technology to lift the cloak of secrecy that has allowed coal companies to flatten almost 1 million acres, destroy some 474 mountains, and bury over 1,000 miles of streams, devastating local communities in their wake and one of the world's biodiversity hotspots. Welcome to the program, Marianne.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for your work. You are just on fire, it sounds like.
Well, we have a lot going on. Last summer, there were big articles about mountaintop removal in three major national magazines, Vanity Fair, National Geographic, and Oprah. And since then, things have just been continuing to ramp up, getting a lot more attention, a lot more interest, a lot more support in Congress. And so we're definitely very busy.
Mm. And it's so timely because everyone's talking about coal being the answer to get off oil.
You know, it's really a challenge for us and an opportunity because people think about the burning of coal and think, well, you know, if we can just clean that up, then coal is an alternative to oil. You know, we don't have to go to other countries to get it. And very few people think about or really understand the tremendous, tremendous impact that mining that coal has, not only on the environment, but on communities, on people just like me and you, and that's one of the things that we're trying to bring to light, both with ilovemountains.org and with all of our work to spread the word all across the country.
And you're going to have a rally in Washington this May, next month?
Yes, actually, May 12th to the 16th, we are going to have a mountaintop removal week in Washington where we will bring people from all over the country up to Washington to talk to their elected officials, and they'll be partnered with people from the Appalachian coal fields who are traveling up to tell their stories, talk about their experiences of the flooding, the blasting from blowing up the mountains that cracks the foundations of their houses and sends dust onto their homes and their schools, to talk about their stories, about the impacts of coal mining on their lives, of mountaintop removal on their lives, and to carry that message to Congress. And we would love for any of your listeners to join us. They can find registration information on ilovemountains.org.
So you're really going to blow the top off this, the lid off this, so to speak. What is the cloak of secrecy allowed them to hide?
One of the amazing things about mountaintop removal coal mining is you would think when entire mountaintops are being blown up and dumped into the valleys that it would be very obvious and apparent, but as a matter of fact, even if you're driving on the roads right below these operations, because the mountains are so steep, it's actually hard to see. And up until we were using the Google Earth technology, the only way to kind of wrap your mind around this, what Vanity Fair called one of the greatest acts of physical destruction this country has ever wreaked upon itself, one of the only ways to wrap your mind around it was to see it from a small airplane. But now, with Google Earth, we can lift that cloak of secrecy, and it's really changing people's minds about the true cost of coal.
And Vanity Fair is no Mother Jones, or they haven't been traditionally, so if they can say this, it must be real.
Exactly.
So what got you involved in this work? Did you grow up in the Appalachian Mountains?
I did. I grew up in East Tennessee, right outside of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and my father was actually the chief scientist there, and my mom was a school teacher, and she would always take us hiking, and the Smokies are one of the most diverse ecosystems on the planet. They're really, it's just an amazing, amazing place. There are over 150 species of trees. There are literally thousands of species of flowering plants. And so I just fell in love with the mountains there and also saw a lot of development and a lot of environmental impacts that were taking away the very place that I loved. So, and now mountaintop removal is happening in East Tennessee. And so I just feel, you know, have felt all my life that if I could do anything to keep the mountains beautiful and keep them standing, that was what I wanted to do.
I understand, in addition to the mountaintop mining, you just also were appalled by all the development that took place, I guess, when you lived in Gatlinburg, Tennessee?
Yeah, that's where I grew up, and that's the home of Dollywood and the home of...
Isn't Dolly Parton?
Dolly Parton actually went to my high school, and we're very proud of that. I love her. I sing, but I would never compare myself to Dolly.
No comment.
But, yeah, there's just a huge amount of tourist development there. It's the tourist gateway to the Great Smoky Mountains. And I think it's something that probably a lot of the listeners can relate to. I mean, a lot of us have had the experience of losing a place that we love. And I think that's something that has drives me for sure, and I know it has driven a lot of people to dedicate their time and their money and their lives to trying to protect the environment.
It's interesting. You said it was enough, based on what you saw, the housing developments going up, to turn anyone into an environmentalist. At least that's what it did for me. I grew up in Silicon Valley when it was fruit and nut trees, walnut orchards all around my house. There were just two houses on my street, creeks and, you know, all kinds of marine life down at the creek, tadpoles and frogs. And we, you know, ran around outdoors for hours and hours. And I didn't become an environmentalist till about 10 years ago, so it had kind of a delayed effect on me. But every time I went home and saw what had taken over the valley, which is mostly cement and office parks, you know, high-tech companies, I was just appalled. And that was just one of the epiphanies that I experienced. But sometimes there can be a delayed reaction. Was there for you, or did this start you on your career course way back then?
Well, I think having my dad working as chief scientist in the Smokies, I had more exposure to it than probably most kids would, but it definitely was, you know, the effect of going home every summer and seeing new go-kart tracks and new outlet malls and new megaplexes of country music theaters and whatnot. I mean, that definitely drove it home to me. And then I think about the people who are living in the coal fields where mountaintop removal is happening. And imagine you go home and it's not just that your local farm has been turned into housing development, but the actual mountains are just gone. The feeling of standing on the edge of a mountain and knowing that this area that you stood on 6 months ago is just air now, it's not there at all, it's disappeared, is really one of the most unsettling things I think I've ever experienced, because we think of the mountains as permanent. You know, we think of mountains as one thing that no matter what changes in the world, no matter what changes in our lives, the mountains will always be there. And when they start disappearing, it's upsetting at a very fundamental level.
And yet it's not like the top of the mountain just disappears into thin air. It, you know, rolls down the mountain and clogs up streams and rivers and causes all kinds of environmental problems in that form.
Yes, they take the rock that's left over and they dump it into the valleys, and over 1,000 miles of streams have been buried. And actually just last week we had some great news, a lawsuit that was filed by Earth Justice and the Appalachian Center for the Economy and the Environment, Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, Save Our Cumberland Mountains, or Coal River Mountain Watch, some of the other groups. It was successful in stopping some of these permits for dumping the mining waste into the valleys in West Virginia. And the judge basically said that the Army Corps of Engineers should not have approved these permits for dumping the waste into the valley fills. So it was great news, and we're hopeful that decision will mean that future mountaintop removal operations will not go forward.
Also some encouraging news this week from the Supreme Court on coal-fired power plants, how they may need to put scrubbers, which would make them a little bit cleaner, although I understand you do not believe there's anything such as clean coal, truly.
Yeah, it was great news from the Supreme Court. And, you know, it's interesting that Duke Energy was the company that had filed that lawsuit about not wanting to comply with needing to put scrubbers on their older power plants. And they're also in the process of trying to build a new coal-fired power plant in North Carolina that we have been working on trying to stop. And then at the same time, their CEO is traveling around the country talking about global warming and how we really need to step up and do something. And so, you know, we're really at a crux in this country right now. We have 150 new coal-fired power plants on the drawing board. And if we build them, we are committing ourselves to another generation of carbon dioxide emissions, global warming, pollution, another generation of devastated landscapes and communities for providing coal for those power plants. And we would like to see the country instead take a different path and really make a commitment to major investments in renewable energy and energy efficiency.
Well, given the Duke CEO, Paul Anderson's position, as you said, he's traveling around the country speaking. I saw him on a panel in San Francisco in November with Al Gore, Barbara Boxer, and Vinod Khosla and others talking about the need for emissions caps. You have to wonder about where they would be now on this. And you have to really love the fact that there must be a lot of cognitive dissonance going on internally.
Well, you know, I think it's of course, everyone's happy to see someone of his stature speaking out about climate change. And it's the same thing, I think.
Okay, Marianne Hitt, thank you so much for all the actions you're taking. Once again, why don't you let our listeners know about the upcoming event next month and where they can find out more about your wonderful work.
We would love for people to join us in Washington for the Mountaintop Removal Week in Washington, May 12th to the 16th. And we'd also love them to help us spread the word about mountaintop removal by signing up on ilovemountains.org, where they can also find registration information for the Mountaintop Removal Week in Washington.
And this is an issue for those who live elsewhere. They don't have to live in the Appalachia to be concerned.
We especially need people from other parts of the country to come in and talk to their decision makers, because this is really a national issue. It's not just people from Appalachia who are using this electricity that comes from this coal. It's all of us, and it's going to take all of us to pass a bill in Congress. So we really encourage people from outside the mountaintop removal region to come. Not only will you help us by lending your voice to this issue, but you'll get to meet some really inspiring people who are working on mountaintop removal from Appalachia.
And you are leading the pack. Thank you for sharing your loud voice with us, Marianne Hitt. We'll spread the word and let our listeners know that they need to raise their voices at this very critical time. The future of coal in many different arenas up for grabs right now.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to EcoTalk on the Air America Radio Network.